1 Corinthians 12, verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now all the sistren can stay ignorant, but the brethren, he doesn't want us ignorant. Is that what that means? Watch out, I'm in rare form this morning. Glory to God. I would not have you be ignorant. No, brethren, all of us. And so if God said he didn't want them ignorant about spiritual gifts, then he doesn't want us ignorant about spiritual gifts or anything pertaining to the Spirit. Literally, that's what that means, anything pertaining to the Spirit. So we've been looking Wednesday night, we looked at the gifts of the Spirit, and we started talking about some different aspects of the gifts of the Spirit. He goes down through here and mentions them. He says down in verse number 7, that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Pastor Nancy said she looked it up, with all, and the Greek means in spite of. How many of you know there's things that if you get God involved and the Holy Ghost involved, in spite of what the devil's doing, you're going to come out on top. I'm not just talking financially. I mean in your home, in your children, in every area where God wants us to profit. And so in spite of circumstances, in spite of what other people say and what other people do, you're going to profit because of these gifts of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit. Now notice, these are all given by the Spirit. Now the King James makes it kind of sound like what's given is the gift. But verse 7 says the manifestation of the Spirit is given. It's not the gift that's given to one and then another person another gift. It's the manifestation of that gift. The gifts have already been given to the body of Christ as a whole. Not to you or me individually, but to all the body. Amen. They belong to all of us. Amen. And boy, do we need these today. Amen. Oh, my goodness. So these things have been given. Now the manifestation of the... You could read it this way because of verse 7. Verse 8, you could read, for to one is given by the Spirit the manifestation of the word of wisdom. You see what we did there? Verse 7 says what is given is the manifestation. So you could say what is given in verse number 8 is the manifestation of the word of wisdom. I don't carry the word of wisdom around in my pocket and just pull it out and use it like I want. Anytime I want. Amen. Now go down to verse number 11. He lists all these gifts and we'll read them. But look at verse number 11. It says, all these, he mentions all the gifts and said, all these are worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. It's not something that I manifest as I will or you as you will. These manifest as the Spirit wills. The manifestation is given in a moment of time by the Holy Ghost. We said Zechariah 10:1 and verse number 10, chapter 10, verse number 1. It says that there's in the last days, ask of the Lord rain, and there'll be bright clouds and grass to everybody's field because there's showers of rain. The word bright clouds, literally in the Greek, the Hebrew says lightning flashes. Amen. Lightning. I think the Amplified actually brings that out, if I'm not mistaken. But it says lightning flashes in the Greek. So he's talking about in this, the cloud represent the glory of God. The rain represents the outpouring of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. The thunderings, the lightnings, and so forth represent the gifts of the Spirit. And so he said, this glory and this outpouring of the Spirit will have lightning flashes. Well, that's representative of the gifts of the Spirit, because that's how they come. They manifest and then they leave, just like a lightning bolt manifests and then it leaves. And I said on Wednesday night, you don't carry a lightning bolt around in your pocket to manifest it when you want. You don't carry around gifts of the Spirit in your pocket to manifest them as you want. Now we say that because if people don't understand that what's given is the manifestation and not the gift, then anytime they have one of these manifestations, they think now they have been given that gift and they can just manifest it when they want, when that's not true. You go to meetings sometimes and people will advertise, well, you come and everybody tonight will get a prophecy. No, you're not yielding to the Holy Ghost if you can prophesy to anyone at will anytime. That's a different spirit. Those things manifest as he wills. Now, you can prophesy in your own edification. Those are for personal edification, but not to give a word to somebody else. Amen. So we need to understand that, because if somebody gives me a gift for my birthday, then I can do what I want. Like if they give me a tie or a watch or something, I can do whatever. I can wear it. I can leave it at home. I can give it to somebody else. I can do whatever I want to. So we have to differentiate that what's given in the gifts of the Spirit is not the gift. Because if it was the gift that was given, if it's a gift, we could do whatever we want to. Just like somebody gives you a pair of shoes or a watch or something.
Yes, sir.
You can do whatever you want to. But see, with these gifts, you can't do whatever you want. They're as He wills. Everybody say, as He wills. So we went through that quite extensively on Wednesday night. Were you here? Did you get anything out of that? And so what we're doing is we're teaching on these things, because he says, look at chapter 12, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, these gifts of the Spirit. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Then chapter 14, verse number 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And so he tells us to desire these things. Amen. Look at verse number 39, chapter 14. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. So he tells us to covet these things, desire these things. Are you coveting them? Do you ever say anything to the Lord about desiring to see them in greater manifestation in your life? You ought to be. That's what he's telling us to do. I'm doing that. I've done that for the last about 9 months or more, I think. Probably getting close to a year now. It's been daily. I almost wake up, I think most mornings, I couldn't say every morning, but most mornings I wake up and the first thing comes out of my mouth, Father God, I thank you for a greater manifestation of the revelation gifts in my life and ministry, or in the body of Christ, as you will.
Amen.
I'm coveting them.
Yes.
Coveting them. I don't just covet them for me. I covet them for the body of Christ as a whole.
Amen.
Amen. So we talked a lot about that on Wednesday night. And we're teaching on these things because it says to covet these things, desire these things. And one way to develop desire is to teach on them. You don't desire something you don't know anything about. You know what I'm talking about? As I've progressed in my life, there's things I find out about that are available that you can have that makes life nicer, makes it easier. Certain equipment or, new inventions or something, And so when I didn't desire it until I heard about it, and like, oh my goodness, that man, I'd like to have that. That really helped me. I know when the iPad came out. I thought I could use that a whole lot better than toting around a laptop, so forth. It's just so much more convenient. There's so many things you can do. You can take, it's your Bible, it's all your study books,
yes,
it's your computer, it's your communication,
right.
It's your update on the news, it's everything. I mean, you got all these apps and everything you can do with it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't desire one until I started hearing all about it.
Yeah.
And then I desired one and I went and got one.
Right.
But see, I didn't desire it until I heard about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most Christians don't hear much about these. That's one reason they don't desire them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And preachers certainly don't create desire in the congregation for a greater manifestation of spiritual gifts by saying all these things have passed away. That was all done away with the last apostle. When the last apostle died, they all ceased. No, that's not what the Word says. Amen. And I could prove that, but I don't have time. I don't want to get into all that right now. I got to stick with what God put in my heart. But he mentioned here these gifts. Notice verse 8 again. For to one is given by the Spirit. By the Spirit. This is not something natural. Some people have gone through this list in order to explain them. Denominational people, and they've called Word of Wisdom. Well, that's just people that have extra wisdom, they just have wisdom in life. And then they get to the Word of Knowledge. That's people that have knowledge. These doctors, they learn all these things. These scientists, they learn all these things. And then, the gift of tongues, that's the ability to learn Spanish or French or some other language, go to other nations. Well, isn't that amazing? It's given by the Spirit and sinners have it.
Come on now. Come on. Come on.
Well, that just proves that's not the definition of all these things. I wouldn't go to somebody that doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to get the definition of these things. Because they're thinking mentally and naturally rather than revelation, because it's working in their life. You can have a head knowledge of things, and then you can have an experiential knowledge because it's working in your life, and that's much greater than just a head knowledge.
Amen.
You know, you can go to school and get head knowledge of science or computers or programming computers or whatever, but you don't really know it until you get out and do it. Anyway, so these are all given by the Spirit. They're not natural. He said, for one given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith. Or as the Amplified says, special faith. By the same Spirit. We'll get into all these as the Lord leads us. To another, the gifts of healings. Literally, healings is plural in the Greek. By the same Spirit. And to another, the working of miracles. You could say by the same Spirit. To another, prophecy. By the same Spirit. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, the diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. It's all the same Holy Ghost. Dividing to every man severally as he wills. Dividing. The Holy Spirit divides these things, not we divide these things. Amen. So, praise God. Sometimes we want to be used in certain ways, but that's not the way God moves here. Amen. It's not what we will, it's what God wills. Hallelujah. Now notice this. Let's get this word of wisdom. This is the one that's stirring the biggest in my heart right now. Let's start with this word of wisdom. We could take, God's given me already about 25 pages of notes already studying, preparing for all this. I can't spend all that time on all those things. We'll just share some of those things that he's given me as we go. But what's really stirring in my heart is this word of wisdom here. Now, what is the definition of the word of wisdom? Now, we're going to look through the Bible and give examples of it. But what is the definition of the word of wisdom? The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation given by the Spirit. Remember, we said to you on Wednesday night, there are three categories of three. There is the revelation gifts, which is the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. That's three different gifts of the Spirit in one category called the revelation. In other words, they all reveal something. They all reveal something. And it's revealed supernaturally, not naturally. Not naturally. Not something you know because of facts and information that's come to you through the sense realm. It's given by the Holy Ghost. There's no other way of knowing it other than the Holy Ghost gave it to you. So those are the revelation gifts. Then there's the three power gifts mentioned, and three of them that are listed are special faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings. They all do something. They all do something. We'll get to those, and I think eventually. But then the revelation gifts, then the second, the power gifts, and then third, the utterance gifts. Now these are given to every preacher as the Lord wills. Is that what the Bible says? Why are we sharing on this? Because God wants to move in a greater way, not just in my life, but in all of our lives. The utterance gifts say something. We have prophecy, we have tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Prophecy is the greatest in the utterance gifts because it takes two other gifts to make equal to that gift. According to the book of 1 Corinthians 14, it says, greater is he that prophesy than he that speak with the tongue, except he interpret. In other words, if he interprets with the tongue and interpretation together, that's not less than prophecy.
Right.
Prophecy is not greater than that. In other words, prophecy is the greater of the three utterance gifts. Because it takes two to equal one. Takes utterance of tongues and then interpretation to equal one, which is prophecy. You understand the way I say it? I went through that Wednesday night, so I'm not taking a lot of time. But then in the power gifts, the gift of faith, or special faith, as the Amplified says, is the greatest one. And the reason for that is the working of miracles requires you to do something to work it. We'll get to that as we study these. But the gift of faith passively receives the supernatural power of God. Daniel laid down in the lion's den and just went to sleep. He didn't get up and rebuke the lions. He didn't get up and, you know, like Samson, tear them apart. Or, amen. He just laid down and passively received. And so the gift of faith is the greatest. And then when it comes to the revelation gifts, the word of wisdom is the greatest. Now, here's the definition. Definition of the word of wisdom. It is the word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit. Say, by the Spirit. The Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose and plan in the mind and will of God. Amen. Amen. It's the best gift of all the gifts. It's the best of the three revelation gifts. What is better than knowing the plan and will of God?
Come on.
Nothing. Nothing's better than knowing the plan and will of God. Now, that's a word of wisdom. That's the definition of the word of wisdom. We'll go through and give examples of this in the Bible so you understand what this is all about. So the word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit. In other words, given by the Spirit of the divine purpose, plan, and mind or will of God. And it has to do with the future. It is not the present tense knowledge that the gift of the word of knowledge gives. It's not present tense knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge will reveal things that are present tense facts or past tense facts. You remember, for example, whenever God spoke to Peter spoke to Ananias, to go down to a certain street called Straight and inquire in the house of one Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's there praying. That's supernatural knowledge. How did he know that? He had no way in the natural of knowing that happened. That's where, you know, Saul of Tarsus changed his name to Paul later. But he was there praying. And God told him exactly whose house he was in. God told him that he was praying. God told him the street the house was on. God told him that Saul had a vision. That he had seen a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him. He might receive his sight. That's supernatural. God told him. He didn't know that in the natural. Supernatural knowledge. Can God do that? Absolutely. If he has to. I mean, you just don't need it all the time, but if you need it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, that's word of knowledge. That's present tense facts in the natural realm. But then God told, because Ananias argued with the Lord. You remember Ananias said, well, no, Lord. He said, I know that man. I've heard of him. I mean, he's got papers from the high priest. He can arrest anybody here in Damascus. He can arrest anybody he wants and take him and imprison him for calling on the name of Jesus. I mean, he's got the papers. He's legally able to do it.
That's right.
And so Ananias is basically saying, I don't much want to do that. I don't much want to go down there. And then God gave him further revelation and said to Ananias, Jesus in the vision. Now this came in a vision. Supernatural knowledge came in a vision. It can come different ways. It can come by an inward revelation. It can come by a vision or a dream. It can come by an audible voice. It can come by an angel appearing. It can come by Jesus appearing.
Amen.
And has in the Bible. All these things have happened in the Bible.
Yes.
And the revelation can come different ways. But this came to Ananias in a vision. Those words of knowledge came by a vision. And then here comes further revelation because he had argued with the Lord, said, I don't want to go down there. He can arrest me. And Jesus said to him in the vision, go your way. Now here's revelation. He's a chosen vessel unto my name. To bear my name before kings and the Gentiles,
yes,
and to even preach to the children of Israel.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. And then I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
That's right.
Nobody liked Paul going to the Gentiles.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Jews hated him. They thought he was a heretic.
Yeah.
And he suffered greatly, not because it was God's will, but just because the message he was sent to preach was not the, you know, everybody's going to get a new house and new car, you know. It was just...
Amen.
Amen. So that's different revelation than the word of knowledge. Now God's revealing to Ananias God's plan for Paul.
King
Saul, his name's changed to Paul.
Yes.
That's the future.
Yes. Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Supernatural revelation of the future.
That's right.
Think about it. Over in the Old Testament, remember Joseph had a dream. And in the dream, the sun and the moon bowed down to him. And then shocks of wheat bowed down to him. 11 shocks of wheat bowed down to him. Remember that? And he awakened and God revealed to him and showed him that what that meant was he was going to be a ruler and his parents and his brothers would bow down to him. Of course, he told him that vision. How many of you know it's not always wise to tell everything God says to you? He told him that vision. They're so happy about it, they tried to have him killed. You arrogant thing, you. You're daddy's favorite. Now you think you're a big wig and you're going to rule over us. Well, we're just going to show you. Remember, they sold him as a slave. Told his daddy that he had been attacked by lion or, you know, animals and dipped his garment in blood, you remember, and took it back to home. Said he'd been attacked by an animal and he was dead. That was a lie. Well, you remember, how many years later? He's the prime minister because he went down there into Egypt as a slave. Right. And then somebody lied on him. He's in Potiphar's house and lied on him. And then he's put in prison.
Yeah. Come on.
And it looks like God's plan is over here and he's gone this direction.
Come on.
Gone the other direction. So, but he just stayed faithful.
Yeah.
How many of you know it pays just to stay faithful? And then the butler and the baker, remember, they had their dreams and he interpreted them. And then one of them got out. And then the Pharaoh had a dream. And the one that got out said, I know a man that can tell you the meaning of that dream. Because nobody else could tell Pharaoh. And so he called for Joseph. Because was it the baker or the butler? Whichever one. Called for Joseph and said, you know, because the other one has head cut off. But the Pharaoh's calling for you to interpret his dream. No pressure or anything, just. I mean, he cut the other guy's head off, so no pressure, you know. But see, Joseph had the word of wisdom and manifestation in his life. The future was revealed to him. And so he prayed and God showed him the future of what that dream meant. Remember, the dream had seven fat cows and then seven skinny cows in it. And the interpretation was there's going to be seven good years here in Egypt. Then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And so the king said, well, you know, what should I do about it? And Joseph said, well, my advice would be to use those 7 years of storing up for the bad years that are coming. And the Pharaoh said, my goodness, you're the wisest man. May as well be you in charge of it. Made him prime minister. Made him number two in the nation of Egypt. And then the famine got so bad that Joseph's brothers came down there for food and ended up bowing down to him. Remember that?
Yes.
See, he had seen that in a dream years before that. What was that? Word of wisdom. That revealed the plan and the purpose of God. Whoo, glory be to God. Do you know you have a right to know the plan and will of God for your children? At least to a degree. You might not know everything, but at least enough to train them the right direction.
Yes, amen.
Yep.
You know, if they're called to be a businessman, you don't want to train them for the ministry.
Right.
If they're called to be in the ministry, you don't want to train them to be a businessman.
Amen.
You ought to have enough revelation of God's plan for your children that you can get them going that direction and know whenever they say, I want to do this, you say, no, wait a minute, don't say that. Say, I want to do whatever God wants me to do.
Right.
Even if they don't know yet. And if God tells you to tell them, that's all right too. Just make sure it's God. And not your opinion or not your desire. Because God is the revealer of secrets. He is the revealer of the future. God knows the future better than you know the past. And he sees fit sometimes to reveal it. Especially to get us going the right direction. Now he won't show you everything. Notice the word. The way this gift is defined. Word of wisdom. Not the whole book of wisdom. Not everything God knows. You know God has all wisdom. And all knowledge. He could tell you anything and everything. He knows everything. He knows all about the past. He knows all the facts about everything. And he knows everything about the future. He knows where it's all going.
Amen.
Whether it's his will or not, he'll know which way things are going.
Yes. Amen.
But he doesn't tell you everything. He only gives you a word.
Amen.
Just a word. What's a word? A word is a fragment of a sentence.
Yes.
And even a smaller fragment of the paragraph.
Yeah.
And even a smaller fragment of a chapter.
Yeah.
And even a smaller fragment of the book.
Amen.
And even a smaller fragment of all the books.
Yeah.
That have words in them. Amen. That's the way the word of wisdom is. God won't tell you everything, but he'll tell you enough to get you going in the right direction.
Amen.
You remember God spoke to the Spirit. Actually, first of all, an angel said to Philip in the 8th chapter of Acts, go down by the way of Gaza unto a certain area down there. And he mentioned where it was. The way over to, he mentioned the place. I can't remember now where it was, the way over to a certain place. And so the angel spoke to him. Now, what is that? Somebody said, what is that? That's revelation of God's plan and purpose for him. That's a word of wisdom. He didn't know it. All he knew was to go down over there. God didn't tell him why. He didn't tell him what was going to happen. Because God didn't give him a sentence of wisdom. He gave him a word of wisdom. And that's the way these things are. You got to have enough faith to step out on the word before you're going to get the rest of it, or you never will get the rest of it. I don't know why these things aren't in manifestation in a greater way. Well, step out on what you do have, and then further revelation will come. So God gave him that word, and he went down there not knowing exactly what was going to happen. He went down there and he saw this man coming back from, I think, Jerusalem. He was a Ethiopian in charge of the Queen Candace's treasury. And he's riding this, you know, probably, you know, being carried along by horses or something, and probably an entourage. And so he's sitting in there and he's reading the book of, he didn't know at the time, he's reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip saw him, and the Spirit said to him, How many of you know this is not the inner witness, this is the Spirit speaking?
Yes. Amen.
What's the difference between the revelation that comes in an inner witness and one of these words of wisdom? What's the difference? The difference is the inner witness, you just know, you just have a knowing about something, but you don't know it. God hasn't said anything, it's just an inward witness about something. But when a word of wisdom comes, you have a word come to you, or a piece of a sentence come to you.
Amen.
And you actually, the words come to you.
Amen.
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 I remember one time the Spirit of God spoke. I had known for a couple of months, actually, a particular person I kind of had a sense that they're not going to be doing well physically in the future. And I was praying for them, but I didn't say anything to them. But then a word of wisdom came to me. The word was, you go tell them that they need to take better care of themselves physically in several different ways. And because the way they're going now, they'll not, in 2 years, they will not be doing well physically. And in 10 years, it'll be really serious. Well, see, now I had the witness before that, but now here's a word of wisdom. Can you see the difference?
Yes, sir.
How many of you can see the difference? Before, I just had a witness. They need to take better care of themselves.
Yeah.
Now, unless you think I'm on my high horse about things like that, I've had the Lord give me words of wisdom along lines about my own life.
Yeah.
I remember in my 20s one time, you young people, you listen up.
Yeah.
I was in my 20s one time, and the Lord spoke to me. I'm sitting watching television. I'm in Bible school. I'm sitting watching television, watching soap opera. Dear Lord in heaven. You know, that's all perverted and sexual and all these, you know, stealing their husband from each other. And dear God in heaven, stupid. Yeah, I was stupid. Yeah, I'll just admit it. See, at least I'm not talking about you publicly. And I said, I'm sitting there, and the Spirit of God spoke to me. It came to me just as clear as ever. The Lord said, if you don't stop doing this, put your foot to this. He said, then you've gone as far as you're going to go in the ministry. Well, I said, well, click, you know. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. So, no, I'm not on my high horse about God delivering messages to me through me to other people. We're all on the same boat. Warnings come sometimes. If you don't adjust this, then you're not going to. You know why God does all these things? Verse number 7, to prophet. To profit. Not to be the big kahuna and boss people around. It's because he loves us. I said it's because he loves us. Hallelujah. And I want to profit. And I am profiting off of these words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And others are profiting because of these things. We've had times here where the Spirit of God spoke, sometimes publicly. I don't like to do it publicly. Sometimes the Lord will say to do something publicly. But I'm trying to be more aware of how to do these things. See, 1 Peter talks about being good stewards of the grace of God. But we've had times where the Spirit of God says to young people sometimes here, there's two paths set in front of you, this direction or that direction. You choose this path, and here's what's going to happen. You choose this path, here's what's going to happen. Boy, I had that manifest one service one time publicly about a particular person. And man, did they get mad. I said, well, it must have been you then, the stuck pigs, the one that squeals. Amen. Well, praise God. Everybody still glad they came?
Yes.
Warn people sometimes. These things manifest to warn people.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Parents, you ought to have enough revelation about the plan of God for your children that you know how to, at least to a degree, train them. You ought to have a, there's a little bit of, Lord, how much time do I got? There's training that every child needs generally to be raised up to be a fruitful part of the body of Christ and benefit the work of God. But then individually, there's specific things that each child needs. Some of you need to be aware, some of your children need more solitude than others, more quietness than others. I mean, that'd be good for all of them, but I'm just saying, you know, you can't make a child sit and be quiet in a corner. I'm not saying that, but I'm simply saying some of them, because of the plan of God for their life. I remember Pastor Nancy talking about Stephen, for example. She kept him more solitude. Grant, not so much, but Stephen, because of the gift and the calling on the inside of him. Amen. I remember a parent, well, an individual. This individual has been for years in and out of the church. But as a teenager, I never forget. They were in the youth group, and I'll never forget, the Spirit of God moved on them. And by their own admission, tell your neighbor, by their own admission. First of all, God called them to the ministry. Not because we prophesied and said, we believe you're called to the ministry. Now, later on, God revealed some things. I believe mostly Pastor Debbie, me somewhat, but I think it was mostly Pastor Debbie in this case, ministering to her about that call and confirmed it by revelation of certain specifics, you know.
Amen.
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 But Daddy wasn't a spiritual man. And he didn't want her to go into the ministry. God spoke to her about Bible school. But Daddy, no, you're not going to go to Bible school. You're going to go, you do this. I want you to be a business person. And so, you know, being submitted in the home before she got out of the home and stuff, you know, it's right to stay submitted. But see, once you're of age, you're going to have to obey that call. Once you're of age. Well, they sat in that home and got deceived by Daddy. And then married wrong. And then never did go to Bible school. Amen. And off track today. They're in and out of this church. They've been in and out of this church for years. Because they get some needs in their life and they show up again. And then they get close to God for three or four services. And that call, that knowing, that knowing starts getting stirred up again. And then they're out of here. We don't see them for another 3 months. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes,
folks, that's dangerous.
Yes.
Telling your children what they're going to do.
Yeah.
You ought to have enough spirituality in your life. You ought to have a knowing of what they're supposed to do.
Amen.
And if you don't, get in fellowship with God and find out so you can train them. And don't do something like that dud right there of a dad did to that girl.
Amen.
Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good.
Amen.
Pastor, you talk about these kinds of stories a lot. Yeah, because there are many called and few make it.
Amen.
Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
You just act like this happens quite a bit. That's what the Bible said. Many.
Yeah.
Many.
Many.
Tell your neighbor, many means many.
Many means many.
Many called, few make it. That's the way I say that verse. Many called, few make it.
Yes,
it's not enough to be called. But you see, not everybody's called. But I'm just talking about children in general. You need to know. You need to know. It makes me cringe. I hear parents say it sometimes. No, I'm not going to let my child go to Bible school. I'm not going to let my child do this. Why? Why? What's wrong with Bible school? Amen. Anyway, well, I'll get off of that. Anybody still happy they came? Now, word of wisdom. Now, here's something that this is not. This is not the gift of wisdom. You understand? This is not talking about natural wisdom. This is not talking about the ability to make good decisions in life and finances and so forth and so on. Remember the Bible said over in James chapter number 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith.
Amen.
Now, that's general wisdom for life. Every believer ought to have that. But this gift of the word of wisdom is not that. And for the simple reason that it says in 1 Corinthians 12, when it comes to the word of wisdom, for to one is given the word of wisdom. But James 1 says that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally. Well, is God giving wisdom to one or is he giving it to all? What depends on what you're talking about. Just to make good, sound decisions is given to anybody. It can be anybody's. Because remember over in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe, do according to all that's written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou have good success. One translation says you'll make wise decisions in the affairs of life.
Amen.
You know, that wisdom comes from just knowing the word.
Amen.
Isn't that good? We all ought to just have sound judgment on things.
Yeah.
Just make good decisions financially and good decisions about raising our children and so forth. But that's not what this word of wisdom is. The word of wisdom is a specific piece of God's understanding of his plan in the future.
Amen.
And it's very specific. The inner witness sometimes is just kind of a general knowing, like I described that situation. Just a general knowing. But when it comes to the word of wisdom, it's specific.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Joseph had something specific.
That's right. Amen.
He didn't just have, I have a sense I'm going to be a ruler. No, he had a specific that his brothers are going to, parents are going to bow down to him. And then he had specifics about that dream Pharaoh had. Very detailed, about 7 years and seven bad years. And, isn't that right? Very specific. Amen. And it's only a piece of specific. Amen. Well, did you get anything out of that? So that's what it is. Now, the difference between the two gifts, one is the future. The word of wisdom is the future. The word of knowledge is things concerning the past or the present. Like that man, like Ananias said, certain street, and Jesus told him the street and all that. That's all present tense facts in the natural. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so very often, though, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge will work together. Like John on the Isle of Patmos, that case of Ananias. That's one case, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and then word of wisdom. John on the Isle of Patmos had words of knowledge concerning the present tense condition of seven of the churches in Asia Minor. And then he had a word of wisdom for each church about God's plan for the future. Here's what to do so that you can get into what is the plan I have for you as a church. Amen.
Amen.
And if you want to, we can just say this now. All divine government is summed up in the word of wisdom. We live in a democracy in the United States of America. The church is not a democracy. The church is under a divine government of the kingdom of heaven. The church shouldn't be voting on everything. That should be governed by the word of wisdom.
Yes.
Divine government is summed up in the word of wisdom.
Yes.
And that's all I'll say about that right now. We could get into that more. But I just want to plant that seed in you.
That's it. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
When Pastor Ike went over there, I didn't need to tell him. He already knew these things. But when I went over there, I said, don't sit up. Don't let everybody vote. And don't let all these people on the board. And because you just hear from heaven about what God's plan is and go and then tell the people this is what God's plan is.
Amen.
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 Well, anyway, it still ought to be governed. There ought to be people standing up with the word of wisdom speaking to presidents today and say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Yeah. You know, over the last four presidents, is it? I'd have to count them again. The Lord has shown me who was going to be president. Sometimes it was the will of God. Sometimes it wasn't. Well, it always revealed the future. Sometimes it was the mind of God, sometimes it wasn't. Somebody said, I thought you said the word of wisdom is always the purpose and plan of God. Well, there are times the word of wisdom is about the future, but it's not the plan of God. Let me give you an illustration. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute. Well, remember, Isaiah went to Hezekiah and said, set your house in order because you're going to die. That's a word of wisdom. That reveals the future. But he, when Isaiah left, he didn't get out in the courtyard, and the Spirit of God gave him another word of wisdom.
Right. Yes, sir.
He said, go back and tell him, I've seen your tears.
Right.
I've heard your prayers, seen your tears, and I'm going to add to your life 15 more years. That's another word of wisdom.
Yes, sir.
That tells about the future.
Yeah.
But the first word of wisdom never came to pass.
Right.
Why? Because some words of wisdom are conditional. Some words of wisdom, you've heard me in the service a couple of weeks, 6 weeks ago or so, I stopped and I said, wait a minute, I said, the Lord just spoke to me. There's a young person here. You've got two roads in front of you. Remember that? Well, see, that's conditional. Yeah, I didn't tell him what to do. I mean, I said before you life and death, choose life. That's as far as I went. But I didn't tell him. But here's what I did say. There's two paths in front of you. I remember Pastor Debbie ministering that way one time a while back. And but see, that's conditional. You choose. You remember Agabus took the girdle, took Paul's girdle, bound his hands, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the hands, bind the man that owneth this girdle.
That's right.
That's a revelation of the future.
That's right. Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
But see, the prophecy never told him what to do.
Right.
God didn't set these things in the church for us to be ruling people's lives with it. But it told what's happening.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But Paul had already been, actually, I believe it's the 21st chapter. Jesus appeared to Paul and told him he had to go to Rome.
Yeah.
So he didn't miss it.
Right. Amen.
Because everybody around Paul, whenever Agabus said, bound his hands and said, this is going to happen, they're going to bind him down there in Jerusalem. Everybody around Paul said, well, don't go. He said, don't break my heart. I'm ready to go and do whatever Jesus tells me to do, regardless of what happens.
Yeah.
See, sometimes it's because God's getting us ready for what's ahead.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And get you ready. See, if you're ready for what's coming, even though it is the will of God, then you won't be thrown a loop, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, God loves us so much. So some things are the will of God. Some things are not the will of God, and God reveals it, so we change it.
Amen.
Amen. That's what that word of wisdom was. I'm going to say 6 weeks ago, there's two paths set in front of you. Yeah, that's showing you the future, and you can change it.
That's right.
Just like Hezekiah changed it.
That's right. That's
somebody
right.
said God changed his mind. No, it was basically God saying, set your house in order, you're going to die. It's God saying, under the circumstances, this is the way it's going to be.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But you can change that, Hezekiah. And Hezekiah repented. He had served God in some things, but he had got off in some things. He repented, and God was basically saying, under the circumstances, this is what's going to happen. He changed it, not God. God didn't change. Hezekiah changed it. And so he lived 15 more years. And to be honest with you, that possibly could have been changed too.
Yeah.
Just like the first one could have been changed. How many of you know if the first one could have been changed, the second one probably could have been changed?
Amen.
You know, there's so much up to us.
Yes, amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Come on.
So much. We blame the devil.
Yeah.
Come on.
The devil or other people.
Yeah.
Well, if we'd have had some revelation,
yeah.
We could have changed it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So sometimes, when it's the future, sometimes it's the purpose of God that is revealed in the Word of Wisdom. Sometimes it's the mind of God, although it's not God's plan.
Yes. Right.
Can you see that? Hezekiah had Isaiah had the Word of Wisdom, and it was what was in the mind, is what God knew about the future, but it was not God's plan.
Right.
We have to understand the difference.
Yes.
Are we learning anything this morning? So it was something in God's mind, but not in God's plan. A lot of things are up to us.
Yes.
You know, God knows everything, even though it's not his plan.
Right.
Yeah. And sometimes he'll reveal the future so we can change the outcome of our lives.
That's
a warning. I've found some people just love that and some people hate it. But I'm not the judge of, you know, whether or not I should deliver it or not. It's up to what God says. Amen. His will is known by his word. If God shows you something in the future that is not in line with his word, such as dying young. Sometimes people have had revelation, there's going to be an accident. There's going to be an accident. I had a vision in a flash. There's going to be an accident. Just because God revealed that, my wife, for example, she had a revelation. I remember how many years ago was that? You saw Lacey, one of your nieces, riding in your brother's pickup truck going to school, riding on her other cousin, or niece was sitting in the middle, and then Lacey, I believe, was on the outside in that door. And she saw in a vision, she saw them going around a corner or whatever it was, and that door fly open and her fall out. And I don't know, did you see her get hurt? A car hit her in the vision, the car hit her. Well, now, if you don't know how these things work, you think that God would reveal that because, Well, that's just going to happen. He wants us to get ready for it. No, we know the word to know his will is not for somebody's life to be. Remember, with long life, I'll satisfy thee and show thee my salvation. So when she saw that, I don't remember if you told me about it right away. Eventually you told me. But she...
I took authority over it.
Yeah. Yeah, she took authority over it because she knew this is God showing her something that's getting ready to happen, but it was not his will. Because we know the word.
Yes, amen.
The word says, with long life I'll satisfy you.
Amen.
So she took authority over the devil, trying to steal, kill, and destroy, number one. And then she had a witness to call her brother. Do you have... Yeah, do you have a pickup sort of like this? And does the door not latch right and so forth? She asked him, yeah, and her brother confirmed all that. And the door was broken. And sometimes it wouldn't stay shut.
Told him, get it fixed.
Don't let Lacey sit there because I had a vision. I believe you told him. Yeah, I had a vision of her falling out and getting hit by a car.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Lacey's alive today because they... that was because, oh, that we profited off of that one. Did anybody... Can you see the profit off of that one?
Yes.
Woo!
Amen.
Buddy, you better believe it. That's profit.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God for gifts of the Spirit. So if God reveals something that's not in line, that's getting ready to happen, don't just say, devil, I rebuke you because devil, you're trying to make me afraid. You need to know the difference between God revealing to you something and fear trying to tell you something. If God reveals it, there will not be a sense of fear. Because God's not given us a spirit of fear. But it is a warning to change something, to do something so this doesn't happen because it's not his will.
Amen.
Amen. Did you get it? Did you learn that?
Yes.
Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
We've got to be skilled with these things and be good stewards of them. And the more we understand these things, the better we will be at manifesting them. And the more profit will come to others.
Amen.
Or to ourselves.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes it's God reveals it because it's his plan. Sometimes it's his plan, but he reveals the hardship so we can get ready for it and exercise authority over the devil and get through it. Remember, Paul on the ship in Acts 27, the Bible said that he was, he said before they left, I perceive this will be with hurt and danger. Well, he wasn't in charge. We couldn't decide not to go. He's chained to a Roman guard, so he had to go. But remember, it all came to pass. And so he went to prayer about it. And what would have happened, everybody's life would have been destroyed. But he went to prayer and besought the Lord and interceded, really. And the angel of the Lord came and appeared to him and said, fear not, Paul. I've heard your prayer, and I've given you the lives of all these people. But tell them to stay on the ship.
That's right.
Here's sinners benefiting from a word of wisdom because somebody's in fellowship with God.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Your family can benefit because you're in fellowship with God, even though they might not be totally in fellowship with God. So all these sailors that would have died and gone to hell lived longer. Gave them a chance. Get saved. Because God's so good. He's so merciful. But they said, the angel said to Paul, this is a word of wisdom now. Tell them to all stay on the ship because if they get off of this boat, they'll die.
Yeah.
So they all stayed in the ship and they all got on the ground, got on land and all were saved. But the angel said the ship will be lost, but everybody's lives will be spared.
Yeah.
That's a word of wisdom.
Word of wisdom.
Why did that come? To assure him of the outcome of something whenever it looks like we're all going to be destroyed.
Amen. Amen.
Boy, it's just so assure. It gives you such assurance when you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
God already said this is how this is going to turn out.
Yes, sir.
And boy, it gives you an anchor for your soul.
Amen.
And we need that.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Can you see how these things work? So sometimes God reveals it's his plan. Sometimes he reveals what's getting ready to happen and gets us ready for it so we can believe God and use our authority. Sometimes he wants us, he gives us the word of wisdom and it's conditional. And you see that? And we have to, sometimes we can't change it. Like in Hezekiah's case, Isaiah got the word of wisdom, delivered it to Hezekiah, but Isaiah couldn't change it. Hezekiah was given the word so that he could make some adjustments so that he could change it. So not every word of wisdom can you change. And in this case, my wife could change that concerning, she could take authority. But she had a prompting. Now they're going to have to do something too.
Right.
And called them and said, don't let, you know, fix that door.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now let's think about it. I know we're about out of time here, but we've given you some accounts in the Bible where the word of wisdom came into manifestation. We've given you John on the Isle of Patmos. He gave direction for those churches. We gave you Ananias. He got revelation of God's plan for Paul. Saul, whose name was changed to Paul. We gave you Joseph. God revealed God's plan for him. We gave you Philip. Go down into by the way of Gaza. Remember that? That's God's immediate plan for him. And so, then how about Noah? God gave revelation to Noah about his plan to destroy and bring judgment on the whole planet because of the sin. But he also gave him the plan for how Noah would be spared of the whole thing. Hallelujah. Can you see what we're talking about? Agabus the prophet in the New Testament. It's in Acts 11 and Acts 21. Agabus told about a drought that was getting ready to come. And so that's the word of wisdom. Then he talked about bound Paul's hands and said, this is getting ready to happen. Isn't that right? Yes. Then he was given assurance, Paul on the ship was given assurance of the outcome of that storm.
Right.
God showed him exactly what to do and how that, what if they did that, everybody's life would be spared.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jonah was given a conditional word of wisdom for the city of Nineveh. Told to go tell everybody, this city's going to be destroyed unless you repent.
Right.
Well, they repented.
Yeah.
And then Jonah got upset because it wasn't destroyed. Looked like a false prophet.
Yeah.
But no, that's what the prophecy said.
Yeah.
If you repent, it won't be destroyed.
Yeah.
You read the book of Nahum, and then later it was destroyed because they went back into sin.
Yeah.
See, but that's conditional.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor that's conditional.
Yeah.
Amen? Praise God. But all these things are help. Amen. I've told young people a couple of times by the word of wisdom, judge yourself in this area. Because if you don't, this is what's getting ready to happen.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of one man right now. I said to him, actually I said some things publicly about this. Judge yourself. And if you don't, you're going to end up in this lifestyle of sin. And that's exactly where they're living today because they didn't judge themselves. Well, that's a word of knowledge of a present condition in their life. What was the present condition in their life? They're not judging themselves. Amen. And then it was a word of wisdom. If you don't judge yourself, this is what's going to happen. And that, and they didn't judge themselves. And so that's what happened. Amen. Wasn't glad about it. But see, the Lord was warning them because that was conditional. God's plan was not for them to get into that kind of a lifestyle. We desperately need this today, don't we?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise God. Praise God. The most dramatic manifestation of this gift has been in my life concerning the office of president. The Lord said to me, I'm closing, but the Lord said to me, he said, I'm making you a watchman. Because I asked the Lord, all this is happening. I'm just a farm boy from Pennsylvania. Why are you using me in this way? He said, I've made you a watchman over the office of president. Remember the dream I had about President Trump? What, people get mad? They gnash with their teeth and pine away. I get nasty emails. I get nasty things on Facebook. Man, you like Trump. I didn't say I like Trump. I said God said he's going to be president. There's things I want to say. Grow up.
Yeah.
Y'all still out there?
Yes, sir. Come on.
But he's anointed.
Yeah.
If you can't tell that by now, then you just need to get saved. God didn't call him because he's perfect. I mean, if God's going to use him or because he's perfect or anybody because they're perfect, then all of us need to resign right now from whatever we're doing for God. Amen.
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 Yeah. It's all the truth.
Yes, it is.
I get nasty. I don't really care what people say.
Yeah. Amen.
See, when God says something, what people say doesn't really matter to me. But so that's been the greatest manifestation of these things. in my life. The second way it's manifested is reveal his plan for my life, you know, our lives. And so, you know, for the ministry, for example, the Lord said to me, I've given you a ministry of healing to the sick. Well, that reveals his plan for me.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. When God said, go tell my people I'm coming soon. Tell them to get ready. That reveals his plan for me. We've had people say to us, I was sitting there, I'm thinking of one person right now, said they were sitting in a service years ago, and God spoke to them and said something very specific about his plan for them connected to this ministry, and said it would be lifelong. Well, praise God, I didn't tell them that, but God told them that. So I'm not trying to keep them in that, but they have to keep themselves in that. Amen. Praise God. Then it's given to warn people. Amen. And then it's given for, you know, to get people ready for things. Yeah, are you glad you came this morning?
Yes.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Sometimes this gift is in operation more in those that are called to the office of the prophet. And sometimes it's delivered through the vehicle of the gift of prophecy. But people call it a prophecy because it says something about the future, but it wasn't prophecy at all. It was delivered through the vehicle of prophecy, but it was actually a word of wisdom. Because prophecy is just simply speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. There's no foretelling or predicting in the simple gift of prophecy. But sometimes the word of wisdom, even the word of knowledge, can be delivered through the vehicle of prophecy. In other words, somebody starts prophesying and then in the midst of their prophesying, out comes revelation. Let me give you an illustration. In the Old Testament, in the Psalms, David was inspired. Those Psalms are inspired by the gift of prophecy. And boy, they edify us still today, don't we? We read them and we're like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh boy, I'll tell you what, we get comfort out of that. And it speaks to us to edification, him first, but then us, edification, exhortation, and comfort. But then every now and then in his Psalms, he'll start predicting and he starts talking about the Messiah. You can find predictions of the Messiah all through the Psalms. See, that's more than prophecy. The others were just given by the spirit of prophecy. Now, the spirit of prophecy is being, the word of wisdom is being delivered through the gift of prophecy. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So just know that for your own life, you can get these things. The plan, God wants to reveal his plan for you. What was it? John 16. He'll show you things to come. Well, I don't know what's coming. Well, then you ask God to show you. Pray enough in tongues till you start prophesying out of your own mouth. Will come the will of God right out of your own mouth. That doesn't mean because God gives you personally a word of wisdom for your life, which he will do, that you're supposed to go around just telling other people about their life. Because that's not what that gift is for if you're not called to the ministry in that kind of an office of the prophet or something like that. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes healing is ministered by this method. In other words, do this and then this will happen. You'll be healed. Remember the prophet Elijah, go dip in the muddy river and you'll come again and you'll be healed. That's God showing a man his plan for how to get that man into healing. But those are sometimes appreciated, sometimes they're not. Amen. But it's all for our profit.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. A particular ministry that I've appreciated over the years and have been greatly blessed with, still blessed by, greatly used of God. I don't know why. Well, excuse me, Lord, I do know why. But the Lord, I'm minding my own business a couple of months ago. And just feeding my spirit in the morning, just not thinking about somebody else, just minding my own business. And up out of my spirit, the Spirit of God, he spoke. The Spirit of the Lord spoke. So-and-so, called their name, will not live past the age and gave me an age. Because they'll not, well, I better not say all of it. I don't want people to know what I'm talking about. And I said, okay, Lord. Why is that my business? I said, I guess then so-and-so is going to take over. And he said, no. He said, then his wife will take over. And then this will go for a while. And then this person will take over. I said, Lord, why are you telling me all this? I wrote it all down. Amen. So just remember, whenever it happens, I told you ahead of time it happened. And some people know more details and they'll confirm that it's not just me making it up. And I said, why? And he said, and here's the reason why I'm telling you this. It's because of your relationship to him, what I want you to do, and so forth and so on. I said, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's a word of wisdom.
Amen.
Why? To help me understand how to relate to that ministry going future forward in the future, and when, how long it'll be on course, and then when it'll get off course. I know which stage of that ministry will get off course. I don't have to go into more detail, but I'll just enough to know. I have enough to know what to do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. I was preparing for this service, and I was thinking at the beginning of preparing, I said, you know, I don't think I've had many words of wisdom in my life. And the Lord started showing me. I'm like, oh my goodness. I bet that's true in your life, just like it's true in my life. Not that I'm a betting man, but I believe. Amen. Anybody, while I was preaching, remember something God did and said in your life, and you realize, wait a minute, that's the word of wisdom. Look around. Keep your hand up. Look around. That was a word of wisdom. Keep your hand up. Look at that. That's pretty much the whole congregation. Well, I wonder why God isn't moving more. Look at this. See, it's not all public. God's it. He's a moving at Spirit of Faith Family Church.